powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
Now, Bump, it's only your second day working with me. We've hosted together before, but as part of the titled show, it's your second day, and you may not know this, but I love a good bet. I love making a bet.
A bet.
And importantly, yes. Curtis, before you come out and correct me, I do pay off on my bets. I do.
I mean, yeah.
I don't have an addiction. I love, you know, making games fun. And usually I work with donuts and such because I don't like feeling like I'm throwing money away.
I mean, denial is a stage of gambling addiction.
Yeah.
You saying you don't have an addiction. When was the last time you won a full show without saying, I bet you?
Yesterday.
No.
Really?
Didn't we bet for the, that's right. Or that was just us.
That was just us putting money.
Yeah, I said, that was me saying, if you want to play that Russell Wilson Let's Ride music, you have to pay $1 into the donut jar every single time you do it. And then Bump gave you $5 so that you could.
Stacy's kryptonite when it comes to betting is Mariner games.
Yes.
She will bet on certain instances that
will not happen.
That are very unlikely to happen. But
like Julio will hit for the cycle. I mean, that might happen eventually, but it probably won't happen today. You want to make a bet? That being said, I say all of that not to make it about myself. I'm making it about the Mariners. But I am not coming out here judging the Mariners for making a bet. But I will tell you guys, one of the biggest problems they had heading into the season, Bump, they made too many bets.
Mm.
They gambled. They made way too many bets. They bet that Jared Kelnick would be the version of himself they saw at the end of last season. That those month-by-month improvements would continue into April of 2022 and May of 2022. They bet that Mitch would stay healthy. I mean, what are some other bets that they made?
Isn't it all a bet? Isn't it all a bet? You put guys together, and you're banking on them living up to expectations or exceeding expectations. They bet on Robbie Ray.
Right.
That bet didn't start to really come through until, a couple weeks ago. They bet on Julio Rodriguez. That seems to work out.
Bet worked out.
Yeah, it worked out. But you're right. There's been a lot of bets that just haven't really worked out. You got Jesse Winker was a bet. You know, Suarez is a tricky bet because he really is who we thought he was going to be. A guy's going to hit around, 220, 230. He's going to swing and miss, but he's going to hit some bombs. So as an athlete, as a coach, I look at the draft, acquisitions, lineups. You're betting that you're doing the right thing and you have the right guys to be successful. These bets just have not worked out for them at all.
Now, you're right in that every team makes bets. Every team gambles on itself, and bets and gambles in this case, mostly a metaphor, even though they're attached to real contracts. But like the Padres bet that we're going to give Fernando Tatis this huge contract. We're going to spend a ton of money. We're going to play like we're a big market team. And they were phenomenal, just unlucky for them. They were in a division with the best team in baseball record-wise last year. Ooh, I almost sneezed. Stop myself. Smooth. the problem is, I think that the Mariners, we talked with Brandon Gustafson earlier, their bets left too thin a margin of error. Mm-hmm. Brandon was right. They didn't overspend. In fact, they didn't exceed last year's payroll by a ton. You could say, if they overpaid, I was talking with someone earlier on the text line. If they would have brought in Trevor Story with his production this year, you'd probably say they overpaid.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, they would have bought themselves some kind of margin of error that they didn't have. If you bet and gamble on young players delivering, prospects panning out, that's not going to happen. And if you don't get other veterans in here, or if you don't get guys that have more surefire track records, then you're also not creating a margin of error there. I think that on April 7th, when the season started, you could have looked at this club and said, already, I don't think that they did enough.
Yeah, you can't bet the minimum, right? When I go to Vegas, I'm a minimum bet type of dude. Middle of the day, Treasure Island, $5 table, I will bet the minimum and sit there and hope it all works out. That seems like, at times, that's what the Mariners were doing. Every now and then, you got to go down the streets to Caesar's Palace at 7 o'clock, where it's a $50 minimum and say, all right, we're going big right now. Let's see what happens. And at least you give yourself a chance. So I can definitely see that. But that's the history of this ball club, right? They don't really go out there and spend that money. They don't bet on these higher profile athletes. And eventually you would think that this is going to change, especially when you have young guys that are producing right now. So you want to surround them with some guys who you know are going to produce, who you're not hoping that this works out. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. You have to be a betting man in this industry when it comes to sports. You gotta bet.
Well, not just placing bets, but placing bets that you're uncomfortable with.
Yeah.
Placing bets on players that you have got to put a higher price tag on than other teams. Like, the Yankees don't have to make as many bets as you do because they're the Yankees. The Red Sox are in the same boat. The Cubs are in the same boat. All these teams are in the same boat because they have a history of winning. The Mariners don't. That's a harsh reality that this organization, I would hope, realizes, like, you can't nickel and dime your way to a World Series unless you are absolutely, you know, buttoned down and absolutely have a player development system that is to the level of what it is in Tampa Bay, to the level of what it is in Oakland. And yes, the Mariners have the number one farm system in baseball by Baseball America. We know that. It's been beaten into our heads for months now. But you got to do something with it. It's one thing to have that, but you got to turn that into major league talent.
Well, and sometimes not making a move is a gamble. Mm-hmm. Like, you think that you're being risk averse, but no matter what, when you're constructing your team, this isn't anything Jerry DePoto and them don't know, but no matter what, when you're constructing your team, you're making bets left and right. Letting Tyler Anderson go in free agency, I mean, let's say that he hated you and didn't want to come back, which, like, I don't know if that's the case, but, like, let's say it was out of your control. It was still a gamble. You still, you know what I mean? Like, he moved on and he nearly had a no-hitter for the Dodgers the other day. You didn't bring back Kyle Seager. Now, maybe Kyle wouldn't have wanted to come back, but not making that move is still a bet.
Don't they have examples of teams not making uncomfortable bets and being successful? Rodgers? I mean, are they looking at those examples and saying, well, they did it. Why can't we do it? Why can't we strike gold betting the minimum at 12 o'clock at Treasure Island?
Maybe the Rays?
The Rays, yeah.
Yeah, but again, they have a tremendous track record of developing star players through their minor league system. The Mariners don't. The last homegrown super-duper star bat they've ever developed was Alex Rodriguez, and he was a one-of-one. He was a guy that everybody was going to, like, no one was going to miss on Alex Rodriguez if you got him in your system. And that's how long it's been. That he was drafted in 1993. It's 2022. It's been 30 years since then. Yeah, you can say Kyle Seager developed into a star. I think that's not hyperbole. I think a star by Mariners standards, too. But outside of those two guys, where have the bats been over the last 30 years?
Right.
The best pitcher you've developed is Felix. Again, he was another one-of-one type. He was another guy that was going to probably make it as a star in the big leagues, regardless of which organization he's in. Now, Julio is on a great trajectory. He's off to a fantastic start in his career. Maybe he becomes the best bat that this franchise has developed in 30 years. But, like, that kind of inconsistency is not going to get you where you want to be, because all these teams that win championships, all of them have somebody that's homegrown. Last year, the Braves had Ronald Acuna and Freddie Freeman. Mm-hmm. The Cubs, when they won the World Series, had Javi Baez and Chris Bryant and all those guys.
The Astros
with Altuve and Correa and Bregman. You have to have some level of player development within your system. And then you supplement that with big free agency additions.
Well, and, like, look at their lineup right now. Three best players. You'd say Suarez, Ty France, J.P. Crawford. They didn't draft any of those guys. In fact, I would say that the Ty France trade, they were looking at maybe Taylor Trammell as being, like, the highlight of that package, and instead it ended up being Ty France. But, I mean, Curtis is right. Like, Julio is their homegrown talent. That's the piece you're hoping is going to pay off. But if you keep making small moves to bring in just, like, moderately improved pieces, it's never going to be enough.
Yeah, and going off of C. Rogers' logic right now, so now is the time to make a move. You have a homegrown in Julio Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. You have young talent in Logan Gilbert and George Kirby, right? You have these guys who are saying, okay, if it all goes well, these guys are going to be here for a while. So now it's time to break the bank. I thought they were going to do it this offseason. And to them, maybe they did. Maybe bringing in Frazier and Robbie Ray. I mean, Robbie Ray was a big signing, right? He's supposed to be the ace. Maybe to them, they were uncomfortable doing that, you know, but it looks like their uncomfortable isn't uncomfortable enough sometimes. Mm-hmm. They need to just, man, like, put a down payment on something, you know, dang well you're not going to be able to pay for, but it just might work out for you. And I feel that, man. It's time to roll the dice.
Well, it's like, so I was talking with someone earlier, shout out to this person, about Trevor Story, and they said, I don't want to overpay for someone who wasn't even going to be an all-star in the first place. Trevor Story hitting 221. He's got 10 home runs, 45 RBI. Like, he'd be the third or fourth best player in your lineup right now.
Yep.
Would you be willing to pay a ton of money for that?
Right now, yes.
Right now, yes.
Yeah, for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly. That's mm-hmm. how I feel about it. And to this person's point, you're right. He's not playing like an all-star. But that being said, I would be willing to overpay for average because the majority of this lineup is not average.
Does average... How many wins does overpaying for average get you, right? That's the question right now. I mean, you're 10 games below 500 right now. You're not going to catch the Astros. I mean, what does paying for average do? Is this not an average team? I mean, most of the league is under 500. At least at one point, half of the league was under 500.
I think, yes. Yes, you're right. And as far as, like, if you just look at, like, adding, like, hitting average, not record average, I think 233 around there is league average. The Mariners have, like, three guys above that. So, I think, yes, you're right. I think they'd be closer to 500, somewhere around there, but that's still a smaller hole to dig out of. And to your point about them feeling like they took a bet on Adam Frazier, maybe they felt that way about Jesse Winker. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they did. I think they were just out of options.
You don't think they thought Jesse is going to come in here and be an all-star?
No, I think they did think that.
Okay. And
I absolutely believe that they thought that. But I don't know that bringing in those guys was out of their comfort zone. I think signing Trevor Story would have been out of the comfort zone.
Yeah.
I think that doing what they did is kind of in line with what they've always done, and that's kind of a problem.
So it's time to break the mold. Let's do stuff that makes you uncomfortable. And isn't that life, right? If you stay in your comfort zone, you're never going to be great. You're not going to do anything spectacular. So yeah, I mean, it's time, man. And I feel for these younger guys because they're showing so much potential.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm sure they're looking around the locker room and they're happy to be here, right? Julio's performing at a high level. Logan's performing at a high level. But they know it's going to take more. These veterans even know. They have to look at themselves sometimes and be like, I'm supposed to be the guy that's going to take this team over the top. So overall, it's got to be a weird feeling with these guys in the locker room right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly frustrating, right? Because I don't know how someone like Ty France, and I'll throw in JP as well, like, could baseball harder. You know what I mean? The problem is that that you need to look at the lineup and say, hey, Dylan Moore, hey, Abraham Toro, I need you guys to play like All-Stars.
Mm-hmm.
That's asking them to do more than they should be asked to do. Those are utility guys. Those should be guys coming off your bench. And instead, one of them's your DH regularly.
Hey, every day. Show up.
Man, it's tough.
Yeah.
I know it's frustrating to talk about this team, but everyone still wants to get to the postseason. We're going to have to figure out where some of that help can come from. We talked with Brandon about it, looking at Mitch Haniger potentially returning and giving you some of that. We're going to talk about it a bit during the dugout, which is all Mariners from 1 to 2. That's in about 45 minutes. Right now, though, let's get to Headline Rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline Rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacy.
Headline number one, the Mariners will look to get right tonight against the Oakland A's. The A's in possession of the worst home record in baseball. What's the real headline?
I think the real headline is team that dropped 4 of 5 to a club that just fired its manager is hoping to get right. When you frame it that way, you realize that saying, let's get right against this team is actually going to be harder than you think.
Both teams have signs on their bulletin boards that say, get right game, get right game, get right game. We're going to come
exactly
out here
right
and get it right. The A's and the Mariners both. There's not going to be a lot of people in the stands in Oakland. I don't know what that does for a baseball team, especially this baseball team. Are you more comfortable? I don't know, but it's a change of scenery. You've had a day off. You're in California. It's West Coast. Just go out there and play some solid ball.
Yeah, the home record's interesting because they're 8-25 at home, which I think certainly speaks to – that's vastly – underperforming compared to the rest of the league, even for bad teams. I think it completely speaks to the mental effect that a home crowd or just a good stadium can have on you as a player. And did you ever feel like as a player, like if you played worse or felt like you didn't have as good a game if there were, I don't know, 3,000-4,000 people?
There's nothing like playing in front of a crowd. I played in front of 80,000 that were booing me, loved it. Played in front of 10,000 people that weren't interested, so hard to get going. Yeah. It feels like you're moving in slow motion. It's hard to find that own your own energy to get going. You have to do it as a pro, but the crowd definitely helps you with that.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two. In the Stanley Cup Finals last night, Tampa Bay returned the favor in Game 3 by blowing out Colorado 6-2. Lightning now trail the Avalanche 2-1 in the series. What's the real headline?
Not a series until that road team wins. If the Avs take a team, take a game away from the Lightning at home, then I'm looking at Colorado as like, all right, here they go. I don't know how you stop them. But I think we were all expecting the Lightning to be able to bounce back and hosting their first game, and they did bump.
Yeah, they had to bounce back. You get whooped 7-0, you come back 6-2, and the Avalanche jump out early, you respond, and you felt the energy in that arena. Like, there was no way Tampa was not going to win this game. It's theirs to lose right now. You're right. Until a team wins a game on the road, it is not a series. I'm just going to assume Tampa's going to take care of home. I think they're going to get it done.
Kind of tighten it up a little bit. Yep. I would love for this series to continue. Certainly beyond, or as far as it could go. I was going to say beyond game four, and it's like, obviously, obviously that's going to happen. I don't even know what I was saying. I didn't love this year's NBA playoffs. I mean, they were good. The earlier part of it was good. I love Ja Morant, but I'm not the biggest Celtics fan. Mm-hmm. I was rooting for the Warriors, obviously, rooting for Klay. They ended up winning, but it wasn't like, I mean, it's a cool story in that they've been able to keep this era going and just continue to accomplish amazing things. Props to Steve Kerr, but I wasn't as riveted and glued to it. I would love to have an insanely competitive series. There were a couple blowouts too. Like, yeah. I want an insanely competitive playoff series in something.
So not necessarily a game seven, but you want the games prior, if you do get to a game seven, just to be close and back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing I love more than a really tight game seven.
Yeah.
There is nothing better than that. What's one of the best game sevens you guys have seen?
Stressful. We talked about it yesterday. Portland versus the Lakers, Western Conference Finals. I believe it was like 2003 or something like that. That was stressful. And the Sacramento Kings used to give us fits as well with Bibby and Vladdy Dottie.
God, I was rooting for the Kings so hard that year.
Ori hits that three.
Yeah. If we're sticking NBA, Cavs Warriors in 2016, Kyrie hits that three, and then LeBron's chase down block of Andre Iguodala. Yeah. That was an incredible game seven.
What about outside of NBA? You can go I'll allow you to include like a Super Bowl.
2016 World Series, Cubs Cleveland.
Yeah.
Where the Cubs were up, I think, 6-3 heading into the eighth or ninth inning. Rajay Davis hits the three-run home run to tie the game late. It goes into extras. There's a rain delay in extras. Cubs get two runs, I think, in the 10th inning. Cleveland gets another run in their half of the 10th, and then they finally get the final out, clinch the World Series.
You mentioned Nationals, their World Series win.
Nationals-Astros. That did go to seven. That game, the Astros were up, I think, 1-0. Late, and Garrett Cole either started that game or Zach Greinke started that game, and they were pitching really good. And then I believe it was Howie Kendrick hit a game tying home run.
You have such an insane
record.
It's very crazy. If I say just like a random year, like Curtis, who won the 1982 World Series?
82? That would be the.
For the 1982 season. It is the Cardinals. Yeah. Like, it's weird. That's just weird. Like, you weren't even alive for many, a decade after that. It's weird.
Wow.
Next one.
Headline rewrite.
I just want to go through years now and just be like, all right, 1996 World Series.
96?
Yeah.
That would be the Yankees and Braves. Yankees won it.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Next headline.
Headline number.
Curtis is just Googling World Series.
No, I'm not. I know this off the top of my head. Headline number three in the NFL this morning. All but four civil lawsuits against Deshaun Watson have been settled. The terms of those settlements will remain confidential. What's the real headline?
Now comes the suspension. How long do you think he could be suspended?
A year? I don't think it'll get there. I mean, they'll go 4 to 6 weeks or something like that because he hasn't been, like, convicted of anything, right? So it's player conduct that Roger Goodell is going to kind of use against him. But either way, it's just a bad look for a dude who had the perception of being just a really good dude, right? And I'm not saying he's not a bad dude. We don't know what happened between him and these women, but these allegations are kind of disturbing a little bit, man. I hope, like I said, I hope the women are good. I hope that he's learning a lesson and somehow this is resolved. I don't think it's ever going to be completely resolved, but as resolved as we can get.
Yeah. This is a callous way question considering the context, so I do apologize for that. But should Deshaun Watson be suspended a year? He will have spent, what, 2 years, calendar years now out of football?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for as promising a player as he was, that does seem to create some kind of step back. Like, you'd expect some kind of weird adjustment after that.
As far as his play?
Yeah, it's spending 2 years out, basically.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you might be in shape, but, like, I just feel like not being in that, think of how much growth you have as a player.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and he was at the top of his game. He was, like, MVP candidate at the time, throwing for over 4,000 yards. Physically, he's going to be okay. Mentally, it's going to be tough trying to get back into the flow of things. But he's still young, man. I could see if he was maybe in his 30s or something like that, it'd be a bit different. That's why I look at Colin Kaepernick. I'm like, man, you've been out the game too long. Like, you're in your mid-30s right now. It's going to be tough for you. But when you're young spring chicken, bounce back.
From the 206, Curtis's brain is just so ridiculously good looking. we don't need compliments for Curtis here. He's gonna just get a little too ahead of himself.
Look, I was just giving Bump a taste of what our Friday trivia game shows are gonna be.
How far back do you think you could go? 1970 World Series.
1970. Was that the?
It was the 67th edition of the World Series.
1970 would have been...
It was four games to one.
Was it the Reds?
The Reds lost.
Lost to the Orioles.
Yes. What? There we go. Like,
goodness
what?
Gracious.
It's uncanny. Like, it doesn't make... Someone said it's the Jimmy G of brains. Your brain just has perfect bone structure. All right, it's Bump and Stacey. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and seattlesports.com. For anyone thinking Curtis was Googling, I swear he's not. He's just thinking about it. It's very weird. All right, this hour, Bump and Stacey is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Taking a look around the NFL next.
Bump and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacey Rost.
This hour of Bump and Stacey is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Let's take a look around the rest of the NFL. Leave Seattle for just a minute here. Ryan Fitzpatrick has confirmed he will be joining Thursday Night Football studio crew. And you know what, Bump? I really like this addition.
I love it, man. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's like one of the unicorns of the NFL, right? You don't find guys like Ryan Fitz too often from Harvard. I just saw a tweet. I think it was his coach. He goes, look, I signed an unknown quarterback 20 years ago. And now 20-something years ago, this famous quarterback is retiring. Nothing like the beard. Dude has like 12 kids, too. So big ups to his wife.
It's also really wild that he has played for so many teams, which means he's failed so many times, objectively, and yet is so well-liked.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen someone who's been such a journeyman quarterback that no matter what, people are like, oh, I love Fitz. Love him. You know why? Because he always has... He has one game with every team where he throws like six touchdowns.
That's where Fitz magic comes from. Let's go, Fitz. Congratulations,
so
man.
Special.
Great career.
Also, though, I think he's going to be a perfect example of a guy who knows a lot about the game, even if he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
He's going to be able to watch and break things down and explain them. This is what I love about former players being in the booth. Even when they're not the best broadcasters, it's insight that you can't get. You couldn't get that from me.
Yeah.
You couldn't get that from, you know, anyone who hasn't played. It's just no matter what, it's unique and it's different. And I think, though, that he's going to be especially great with it.
34,000 passing yards. Good for him.
You know what, though? None of those yards in the playoffs.
Really? He never made the playoffs?
He never played in the playoffs.
Oh, poor guy.
Isn't that crazy? You play for, what, 17 years, I want to say? Really long time, and you never made it to the playoffs? That's horrible luck. All right, next up here, Mercedes Lewis is looking to tie the record for most seasons played by a tight end. How impressive is this?
Extremely impressive. I mean, I was in high school watching this guy play, and I'm like, when did he start playing? What was going on? 2006 was his first year. Promiscuous Girl was the hit song.
Oh, what a banger.
Hips Billy Furtado.
Yeah. Hips Don't Lie by Secure was hot.
Another great song.
LaDainian Tomlinson was the MVP of the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
And Fantasy Steve Nash stole an MVP from my guy Kobe Bryant.
God, that was so long ago.
Steve Nash now a head coach in the NBA.
He's a head coach now, like Mercedes Lewis. That's impressive. Usually these guys who play long are quarterbacks, right? You sit in the pocket. It's not a lot of wear and tear on your body, but he's a tight end. He's in the trenches. He's blocking. He's getting downfield. I hope he plays another 2 years, man. I love that Mercedes Lewis is still doing his thing.
The top songs the last time the Mariners were in the playoffs.
Oh, man.
Hanging by a Moment by Lifehouse.
Wow.
When It's Over, Sugar Ray. Fallen, wow. Alicia Keys, all-timer.
Her first album.
Her first album. Yeah, Alicia Keys' first album. Also, Drops of Jupiter was the number four song on Billboard's Top 100.
Wow.
Drops of Jupiter by Train. That's, it's been a long time, guys. All right, next up here. Tyreek Hill had an interesting interview. This is actually a couple days old, but I'm asking it for a reason. Tyreek Hill had an interesting interview where he said that Tua is one of the more accurate quarterbacks that he's played with. Patrick Mahomes was then asked about that and was like, well, I mean, yeah, we have a good relationship. I feel like he was part of the offense here and we incorporated him, so maybe he's just... It's just a conversation. I feel like I have a good relationship with him. A question for you, though. Does Patrick Mahomes have something to prove this season without Tyreek Hill on the field?
Well, let me go back to what you said. Tyreek Hill is supposed to gas up his quarterback. Like, you have to gas your quarterback up. Throw me the football. I got you. And does Pat Mahomes have something to prove? I think for the first time in a while he does, because you do not have the fastest man in the league, the cheetah, to bail you out when you throw these crazy throws. You got Juju Smith-Schuster, who's not the fastest guy. You have Marquez Valdes-Scantlin, who's going to be okay. But I think the guy who's going to, I guess, be the catalyst of this, he's a young receiver, Sky Moore. I really like this dude. He went to Western Michigan, the same school as D. Eskridge. He does have something to prove, and I hope that he takes it that way. Hope he has a chip on his shoulder, because he's already done everything. He's won MVP. He's won a Super Bowl. He just got married. Like, he's having a kid. Like, he's done everything in life, and he's, what, 26 years old or something like that. So why not have a chip on your shoulder? I think he does have something to prove, and I think he's going to be all right doing it.
All right, of course, we mentioned this earlier, but let me get back to it since it is the biggest news in the NFL today, and that is one Rob Gronkowski. That's the second time I messed it up. I'm just going to say Gronk. Announcing his retirement for a second time. This time it looks like it's for real, though. The future Hall of Fame tight end announced today he's walking away from football after 11 seasons. He has a post on Instagram thanking Tampa Bay and their fans and talking about just the entire first-class organization, looking back at everything. Now, this is interesting, though. His agent texted Adam Schefter saying, I wouldn't rule out the possibility of Gronk returning.
If his agent is texting that, sending that, those vibes out to the universe, hey, week 8, 9, 10, you pay attention. All right, he might be going in for a workout, seeing if he's still in shape. This is what we should do. We know Gronk is going to party. We know he's going to be somewhere with his shirt off. Let's see what he looks like with his shirt off. He looks like he's in shape around that time of year, man. He might be plotting a comeback. I wouldn't put it past him, but Gronk had a great career, man. Statistically, he's the fourth best tight end to play the game. He's changed the game at that position. Him and guys like Antonio Gates really got tight ends down the field. I'm happy for him. He's got a lot of personality. I'm sure if he doesn't play football, he'll be fine. But let's see what happens with Gronk.
All right. And let's go with some news about former local players. The Tennessee Titans announced that former Titans running back and former Washington running back Bishop Sankey will join their scouting staff as a non-Wooten scouting fellow.
Bishop Sankey. He was number 9, right? Was he number 9, Roger? You remember?
That was Gaskin.
That was No. Bishop Sankey, he was number 8 then. He was a single digit, right? Did he play for the
25?
Well, I got them all mixed up. Forget my 25. Thought. Forget my thought, because I had a full story about him.
It's okay. Wrong guy. It's one of those days. Very slow Tuesday. Really cool news, though, for Bishop Sankey. It's always, I mean, I always respect and appreciate when players can find ways to stick around. Like Deshaun Shedd, right? Like,
yeah.
You know that there are lots of players that are like, look, if I can't play anymore or if there's not a role for me, I don't want to give this up. I love football. It's my entire life. And there are some players, Bump, I'm sure, I mean, you're a coach, but I'm sure you've played with guys before where you thought, this guy's going to really excel after football. Like, this guy is a coach.
Yeah.
Or this guy's a scout.
Yeah, Deshaun Foster was a running back at UCLA, then played for the Panthers in the Super Bowl. He is now running back coach at UCLA. Has had offers to go into the NFL, but he stayed at home at UCLA coaching those guys up. He's a perfect example. Like, once a player, you have to look at being a coach because you still want to be around the game. The hardest part for me when I was done playing was just not being around football. So what did I do? Started coaching these JVs and freshmen and snot-nosed 15-year-olds. And, hey, I'm still in the game, baby. Still in the game.
Did you ever play with anyone where you thought this guy could be a great broadcaster or just something where he just never ended up doing that? Like, he went to do something else, but you thought, like, man, you'd be so good at this job. Fill the blank.
A name that no one's going to know. My best friend, his name is Finus Rab. He lives in Houston now. He's, like, high up on Southwest Airlines right now, but he would have been a great coach. Like, he was a guy that would coach me up, and he wouldn't even see the field. He goes, look, this is what I'm seeing right here. I'm like, dang, you're right, dog. Like, if you had just a little more ability, you might be out here. But a great football mind. I'm surprised he's not doing anything.
Oh, it's so fascinating for someone to be that good at something like that, but then that's not the job they're doing.
Yeah.
It's like if your friend was an engineer, but also they're just, like, really great at art, and you're like, I can't believe you can do these two things so incredibly well that you could have a job in this other thing. Like, that guy could probably be a broadcaster.
Yeah.
And probably a welcome voice.
Yeah.
Right? Because, once again, former players, it's always interesting hearing that angle. All right. And, of course, we're going to be wrapping up again once more, one final time, with the news of Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson settling 20 of 24 lawsuits alleging sexual misconduct, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. Those settlements will not affect the collective bargaining punishment or suspension that the league will hand down. So that's going to be kind of a separate issue. The league not necessarily taking that into consideration so much as they are still looking at, did he violate the personal conduct policy?
Just an unfortunate situation all the way around. I feel for the women involved. Deshaun Watson, I don't know what his life is like right now. It has to be tough standing in front of people and addressing this every single day, but it must be tough for these women who had to live through this. Just messy all the way around. And the NFL always finds their own way to deal with things, right? It's like, look, you got the law, you got the government, but this is our institution. We're going to handle things the way that we want to handle it. So we'll see what the punishment looks like. We know he's going to be punished. There's no way he walks away from this thing and just plays football week one. If he plays football week one, Cleveland Browns, y'all better be prepared. There's going to be some rallies in front of your stadium.
Yeah.
Women and men across the country are going to be angry.
All right, this hour, Bump and Stacey, is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Here's how today is going to work. We have kind of a shortened show. Technically, Michael Bumpus and myself will still be here, but our show will become The Dugout beginning at 1 p.m. It is all Mariners from 1 to 2. We're going to start with an interview with the skipper himself, Scott Servais, and then we've got a couple other guests joining us, and we're going to be looking ahead to this series against the A's. Before we get to that, we have 15 minutes left here, so we're going to head to the station for Hype Train, beginning with the greatest Coug ever, regardless of sport. That's next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, before we get to the dugout and the Scott Servais show, we got one final segment here of Bump and Stacy. It is Hype Train, so Curtis, take us to the station. This hour brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino, and here's how Hype Train works. I tell you a trend in the world of sports, a prediction, whatever it is, a hot take. You tell me whether you're buying it. If you are buying it, you're buying a ticket, you're boarding the train. If not, you're letting it go on by, but you got to tell me why. So here we are at the station. Bump first to board, if you so choose. This is the Hype Train. Kyrie Irving is going to be a Laker.
Kyrie Irving is going to be a Laker. I'm getting on that train. That's why I'm getting on the train.
You're really doing it? Yeah, you're getting on the train.
I think it's going to happen, man. I wouldn't be too excited if it happened, but if there's anybody who could get to Kyrie Irving, it might be the guy who helped him get his only championship, which is LeBron James. Now, we know that this guy is a character. We know he's going to be full of opinions. We know you better not challenge him on anything because he's the smartest man in the NBA. We know this about Kyrie Irving. But I also know that LeBron James controls every team that he's on. And even though LeBron James isn't my cup of tea, he is wearing my Lakers jersey, so I'm going to support him as I will Kyrie Irving. But I think this is going down, Stace.
The hype train is that Kyrie Irving is going to be a Laker. Bump is boarding, reluctantly, but he is boarding, saying, yes, Curtis, are you boarding?
Boy, the tough thing, though, to make it work in L.A. is they would have to find somebody to take on Russell Westbrook's $40 million contract, which... Good luck with that.
He's not worth 30 mil? Not worth 40?
I don't know if he's worth four right now. I just think that is going to be really tough to find a taker for. What's funny is the only guy you could really trade him for is John Wall, which it seems like those two get traded for all the time because their contracts are so immovable.
Yeah.
You got to match them up financially. I don't see any takers for Russell Westbrook, so I am going to let this one pass by. Where do I think
I was
Kyrie
gonna say, where
goes?
Do you think he might land?
Man. If he wants to win, I feel like sticking with Kevin Durant is the best possible option for him. But
do they want him, though?
Yeah, exactly. And knowing Kyrie, the best possible option is not the one he's thinking of.
That's true.
And we know he can't play for the Raptors, so that's a whole other story. But I have no idea where he's going to play.
No.
Clippers? They need a point guard.
Who do they get rid of?
Yeah, they got to clear some cap space, too.
I got a couple NBA ones here, so let's go to the next hype train. This one, a crossover between Wazoo and the NBA. Klay Thompson is the greatest Coug ever.
Before I answer that question, let me name off some great Cougs. Okay.
Starting with myself, all right. Michael Bumpus.
Michael Bumpus.
One.
Number one.
No, you know. I'll let the people answer that part. But, Jerome Harrison, the greatest football player I've ever played with, rushed for 100 yards before the half every single game his senior year. Kyle Weaver took WSU into the NCAA tournament, lost to North Carolina. Gardner Minshew, can't forget Minshew. Joshua Anderson won the 400-meter hurdles two times in college, almost went to the Olympics. Drew Bledsoe, we all know Drew. So with all that being said, Klay Thompson is the greatest Coug of all time. Klay, love you, appreciate you. Way to put us on the map. Most people didn't know what Washington State was until Klay really did his thing.
Actually, I think that that is true for some people. I'm not just saying that as a Husky to be mean. I think that there are people that know of Wazoo because of Klay Thompson. The hype train is that Klay Thompson is the greatest Coug ever, period. That's it. He is the greatest Coug ever, regardless of sport. Curtis, are you boarding? Bump certainly did.
Yeah, I'm on board with this as well. I think four championships. Should have been named one of the top 75 players in NBA history.
Yes.
He's a lock for the Hall of Fame, one of the five greatest shooters of a basketball of all time. I mean, how can you not name him the greatest Coug ever? And I don't think that label should only be designated for what they accomplished at Wazoo.
I was going to say.
I think it should also encompass their professional career. Because earlier in the show, we had the news that Rob Gronkowski was retiring. And I consider him to be the greatest Arizona Wildcat football player of all time, even though he only played 2 years at Arizona and didn't accomplish anything close to what he accomplished in the pros. I think you got to encompass their pro career as well as their collegiate career. If you're going to throw out a label like that, Klay has had the best combined college-pro career of any Coug ever.
Yeah, I'm going to also board that one. And I agree, I looked more at like post-college life as opposed to like the holistic look at it, but yeah, not
harder
close
question,
to me.
And I'm not meaning this to hate on the Huskies or anything, but like, who is the greatest Husky? That's a lot tougher question.
They put out so many.
Yeah, there have been a lot of successful Huskies. I'm gonna look at like WNBA for that one.
Kelsey Plum. I don't think Detlef Schrempf is up there.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think of a former Husky that's won multiple championships in the way that Klay has.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, like, great Huskies. Like, you could look and you'd be like, oh, Vita Vea,
Warren
he's fantastic.
Moon.
He's talented. Warren Moon, he's talented. But it's like, who's had the level of success? If someone can think of one, and I'm blanking on it because I'm a horrible Husky and I have horrible recollection with school pride because I don't know, I'm not from, like, a UW family, so...
I can tell you about who my favorite Huskies are, though. Maybe not the greatest, my favorite.
Really? People you're willing to admit?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Isaiah Thomas, one.
Yes.
Brandon Roy, two.
Yes.
And then Corey Dillon, running back.
Warren Moon and Brandon Roy are both the most popular ones on here. All right. Next hype train. Well, let's keep it local here. The number one pick in the NBA draft will have Northwest ties. Whoever it is, he will have Northwest ties. Bumpy Borden.
I'm Borden. It's going down, man. Got the kid over there for the Zags. Chet, am I saying his name right?
Chet Holmgren, yeah.
Chet Holmgren, and then you got your boy from O'Day with the Dukies. I butcher his name all the time.
Paolo Banchero.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's going down.
Curtis, the hype train is that the number one pick in the NBA draft, no matter who it is, he's going to have Northwest ties.
I think it'll be Chet Holmgren as the number one pick. So I am going to hop aboard this train as well. I think there has any of us let a train go by?
No.
I don't think so.
No, you did. Irving. Kyrie
yes.
Irving.
Oh, yeah, you did because you think Kyrie's not going to be with the Lakers.
Yeah, that's
but
right. Okay.
Someone suggested Bucks.
I don't think so. But I think
it's just some random team,
I think it'll
like
be Chet Holmgren,
Sixers.
Number one pick tomorrow night. Or not tomorrow night, Thursday night in the NBA draft. Going to Orlando, teaming up with his AAU teammate, Jalen Suggs, another former Gonzaga Bulldog. I know Brent Secker would be thrilled if that happened.
Yeah.
He'd be a closet Orlando Magic fan.
From the 206, Miles Gaskin, all-time rusher, rushing leader in every category. But I'm thinking of like the holistic career. If you include professional career, I don't know that I'd have Miles there. I mean, he's still working.
Oh, well,
it, obviously.
How about if we're including professional career?
Including professional career.
Tim Lincecum.
Oh, yeah.
Two-time Cy Young Award winner, 3 World Series championships.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Good point.
We got a texter, Hope Solo. I mean, forget
that's
her personal
one.
Life, but she won a World Cup.
Curtis endorsing that one a little bit less. This has been Bumpin' Stacy. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. Bump and I aren't going anywhere, but we are going to bring you guys into the dugout. It's all Mariners from 1 to 2 getting things started with the Scott Service Show. That's next.